I want to think for a moment about how God is in fact not really far from anybody. I'll start off by putting three scriptures together in your minds. Let's start off with Ecclesiastes 3. God has set eternity in their hearts, talking about humanity. God has put a sense of eternity in the human heart. Right, let's go on to Romans chapter 1. That which is known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it to them, because the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, the things he's created, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Humanity is without excuse, Paul says. Right, Acts 17 is the next scripture, where he reasons that people really ought to get on and repent, exactly because God has set things up so that people should seek God, so that they might feel after him as if they're searching in the dark and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, because in him we live and move and have our being, as some even of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Being then the offspring of God, we shouldn't think that the divine is like gold, silver, or stone, crafted by art and the imagination of man. Therefore the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands men that they should all everywhere repent. So, God has set things up so that men should seek him and find him, and he is not far from every one of us because in God we live, move, and have our being, and we are made in his image. Well, as the poet said, we are also his offspring. Now, what does all this mean? Does it mean then that just by looking at nature you can find God? Well, I don't think so, but the point is that the whole nature of creation reveals something about God that appeals to an intuitive sense within man. And therefore, this is the whole point of Paul's argument there in Acts 17, that therefore God commands men now that they should all everywhere repent, and he's alluding to the command to take the gospel into all the world. So we should take the gospel into all the world because when people hear it, when they hear this commandment to repent, then is triggered this intuitive sense that they had of, as Ecclesiastes 3 says, eternity, a sense of eternity that is in their heart. As Romans 1 says, this sense that the divine is in fact made manifest to them, and actually quite clearly seen through creation, through the things that he has created, even his everlasting power and divinity. And as Acts 17 says, the fact that we are made in his image, we have this natural affinity to him. But it needs the message of the gospel to, as it were, appeal to that. And so, it is absolutely true, as many evangelical preachers have said, that there is a hole in the human heart that only God and now Jesus can really fill. Now, as a non-Trinitarian, I wouldn't call myself an evangelical Christian in that sense, as part of their sort of movement, but I would say that that is so. I totally agree with that sort of line of appeal, that there is a hole in the human heart that only God and Jesus can fit. There is a sort of a gap in the human psyche. It's not filled by religion necessarily, by denominationalism, but it is open there and filled by God and by Jesus. And therefore, we can say to people, look, God is not far from any one of you. Well, David plays on this idea a lot in the Psalms. He says, Psalm 73:28, we must draw near to God. And prayer is often described in Psalm 119, for example, as coming near to God. And yet, he is not far from every one of us. He's already near. He says, David says, Psalm 75, verse 1, that God is near to me, and yet he invites God, Psalm 69:18, to draw near unto him. So, God is near. He's not far away. And yet you have got to invite him closer, and you have got to draw near unto him. The implication of putting all this together is that the distance is not great. What do we make of this? I think straight away you take huge encouragement in preaching the gospel that nobody is disinterested. They may be disinterested in coming out to a meeting, coming to church, all that kind of stuff. Sure. But that does not mean that they don't have this gap in their heart. This doesn't mean that they don't have an intuitive sense that there is eternity. Somehow that is the possibility of eternity with God, that they see and sense God manifested in his creation. They can't make sense of it, but they sense there is something out there. In all these things, they sense that just possibly they may be answerable to this God. They are in somebody's image. And just as a biological child has a desperate need to find the father or find the biological mother, and there is an intuitive sense once they get together, so it is with God and man. Here in Riga, in Latvia, we had a woman who we were a sister in Christ, who was a great friend of ours, still is, and she was an orphan, and she didn't know who her biological parents were. And she was one day in a post office, and there was an older woman in the post office, and she just had this sense. She'd always wanted to find her mother, but had never really located her mother, didn't quite know how to do it. And she sort of went up to her, and sort of in an embarrassed way, the woman was then in her mid-20s, said, you're not to be my mother. And she told about the orphanage that she'd grown up in and so forth. And this woman there in her 50s, you know, has broke down in tears, just in a post office in a suburb of a city, just broke down in tears, and there they were, reunited. What made her go up to the mother and say, "You're not by any chance my mother. My name is such and such, and I grew up in such and such orphanage"? Well, you know, it's the same with God and man. There is this sense that he is there. And anyone who says, "Nope, I don't have any sense of that. Nope, there's no God," you know, that's just bravado. That is absolute bravado. When you really chat to those people underneath, you can very, very soon see that actually they're reacting against religion. They're reacting against the image of God presented by religion, their bad church experience or whatever. But there is this worrying concern in them that actually, you know, there is a God. And I find it interesting in Ecclesiastes that there's Solomon at the end of his life. The historical record says that his heart was turned away from God, the true God, by his wives. And he died, as he explains his worldview in Ecclesiastes, he died without any hope for the future. And yet he cannot get rid of this idea of God. He talks about God quite freely in Ecclesiastes. The guy didn't become an atheist, but his heart turned away from relationship with that God, unfortunately. That's why Ecclesiastes is so fascinating, because it shows that you can't escape from God. You may have heard of the pop star David Bowie. Well, I had a sort of passing interest in David Bowie because he grew up in the same London suburb back in the UK as I did, and he went for a while to the same primary school that I did as a little child. So I was sort of mildly interested in the path of the guy's life, and of course he was a pop star and so forth, and an ardent atheist. But on his deathbed, he had a fairly publicised sort of online kind of death. He was asked if he had any regrets, and he sort of said, "No, not at all." You know, he found fame and glory and all that. But then he said, "Well, yeah, there is one thing, and it is that I've always been an atheist, but I've always had this niggling doubt that there may be a God. And I couldn't get rid of that, and that's my regret." And his last song that he composed pretty well in hospice care was called Lazarus, and was about Lazarus from the Bible. So he couldn't get rid of it, could he? He couldn't get rid of that sense, and there is no pure atheist. Now, that is an encouragement, because as you go to preach to people and you chat to people, you know, all the hackles go up because they think, oh, yeah, religion. And yet, don't think that people are not interested. Yeah, I accept people don't want to join denominations, they don't want to get involved necessarily with going in a church building. That is not to say that they don't have that hole in their heart. And when the gospel is preached to them, as we've seen from the verses we looked at, Ecclesiastes 3, Romans 1, Acts 17, you are appealing, you're keying in to an intuitive sense that there is something in this. That this intuitive sense that I have a father, a heavenly father. I'm made in the image of someone and something far greater than me. And of course, it's a comfort to ourselves that we are not far from God, that the distance between God and man is really not.